Julian, welcome to the podcast. Thank you for taking the time to come on. I know you're a busy lady. If you could just introduce yourself, you know, your name, where you're originally from, your position, and where you're currently playing.
All right. Well, my name is Julian Ramirez. I was born and raised in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. I have been, I guess, living in Europe for 4 years now. So it's been a journey. It's been really fun. I play all attacking positions, so left winger, striker, and right winger. Good with both feet, so it's super fun to be versatile on the pitch. And I'm currently playing for MFA Žalgiris in Lithuania.
Awesome, awesome. Yeah, so if you could just take us through, you know, when did you start playing soccer or football, whatever you call it, and, you know, kind of your journey through the youth level until, you know, where you are right now.
So, yeah, I'm playing right now currently for MFA Žalgiris, but I've been playing soccer since I was 3 years old. My parents had me extremely young when they were like 15, 16, so they didn't have a lot of money, and soccer, I guess, was like the most cost-effective option for them at the time. So I was really like a duck to water when it came to that sport. I like put my whole heart and soul into it because I know it's either soccer or nothing else. You know, there was no alternatives. My parents couldn't afford hockey or gymnastics or any other alternative. So I tried my best, and I think that's what kind of that like drive, as well as the passion for soccer that my entire family has driven me to where I am today. And also I was super fortunate that I was very skilled all my life, I guess, in soccer, that I was able to play for some of these higher teams, without like having to pay, you know, these huge fees and stuff. I think a lot of the times, especially when I was younger, I was on the teams for free at some points, you know, so it was super, super nice. And then when I got older, my parents obviously finished school. They both graduated university. At this point, I was like 13, 14 years old. So then they actually got, you know, proper jobs, and they had proper incomes. And then I was able to play for these very big clubs and go on all these cool tournaments and be seen, and then actually be scouted for a university.
Awesome. So how did that, how did you play in university? You had colleges. I don't know how it works in Canada. I mean, I don't know if it's similar in the US. Did you go to like showcases and then team found you out, or?
Yeah. So, you go to a lot of showcases when you're like 16, 17, even 18. I was all over Canada. You know, I wanted to go to UBC, and play left winger for them, but it was just matter of money, and that's what it comes down to sometimes. You know, it doesn't matter how much opportunities you get, if you can't afford it, you can't take them, right? So in that circumstance, it was kind of sad. I went with my like second option, based off of I guess necessity. It was in my city. I was living with my cousins that lived right beside the university. And I stayed there for free. I got to play soccer and also study for free. And I really take pride in my education. So I was always on the Dean's List Honor Roll, Academic All-Canadian for student athletes. So I got a lot of funding for my education that way. So a lot of scholarship opportunities were presented to me. So in the end, I graduated with a very small amount of a student loan, you know, so in the end, it all worked out. So
awesome. So did you play a season in university before going over to Europe, or were you just studying?
I played 3 seasons in CIS. And for my 4th year, COVID happened, and I was going to graduate that year, but I decided, you know, let's go to Europe. At the time, my ex-boyfriend was living in Germany playing here. So I was like, all right, let's moved to Germany, I have a place to stay for free. His parents hooked me up with the whole visa process, and then I started, emailing teams and trying out for teams here in Berlin, Germany. And that was such a cool experience. I played on three different teams. The two were just in the Berlin League, so nothing special. And then I guess through the grapevine, people started hearing about who's this Canadian player, and I played for the best team in the regional Liga, which was like a
Nice.
huge jump up, So this is like a team that if they qualify, they play in the Bundesliga. So, and they won almost every year up to this point. So, going up, was like a high probability. So I was super excited, and just having that opportunity to play at such a high level in Germany, it was so exciting. Coming from Canada, I didn't want to give up soccer. I was really disappointed I couldn't play my last year of, university soccer, but being able to, take my last year and actually play in Germany was like way like just worth it completely.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's awesome. So how, like, just on the girl's side, like on the woman's side, how is it going into a new country? How is like the environment changing from the, Canadian university system and then going into, the female professional system? How is the attitude of the girls? Are they welcoming? What was your experience from those three teams?
Honestly, very similar but also extremely different. So it's in, I guess, in Canada or in the university system, it's very on, it's about hierarchy. If you're one of the older players, fourth year, fifth year, you're the boss. Doesn't matter. The rookies are these little ants that follow you everywhere. Like no one cares about them, So, and that's the feeling I really got, when I was 17, 18, going on to this team, like trying out, terrified. You have these fifth years just like glaring at you. You don't even want to say hi to them. You're just trying to like not get in their way. It was just kind of that feeling and experience, which I really, really hated. But then when you come to Europe in the professional side, it's not necessarily based off hierarchy. Yes, of course, the older players do have like more like set of precedence with like the team's culture. But if you're one of the best players, it's based off of that. It's based off of respect more in the professional field. Like you could be 18 years old and you be the best player on the field, you could be the captain. It's not necessarily about age, it's about your skill, it's about your work ethic, it's about what you bring to the team. And I loved that so much more because in college, like you could be a fifth year and have played five games and you're on the team because of whatever reason the coaches kept you around. And for some reason, you're the shit. Everyone's like, oh, bow, hear ye, like all about you. But it really shouldn't be. There's been a lot of times where there's these older players that I was terrified of and they would make me feel so uncomfortable and make me feel like kind of bad about myself if I made mistakes in practices. But I was the one starting every game and they were on the bench. But I still felt afraid of them. I still didn't feel respected. Didn't matter how many goals I scored, didn't matter how many minutes I played, didn't matter how much I contributed on and off the field for 3 years, playing almost every single game, starting almost every single game. Until I was a fourth or fifth year, I didn't feel like I got the respect that I have earned, So.
That's actually a great call. I mean, I noticed that as well. I mean, I think it's different in, North America and Europe. I mean, I've never played professionally in North America yet, but obviously I played 1 year of college, and yeah, like you said, it's a hierarchical system. And yeah, you realize in Europe, it's about who's in the starting 11, who's traveling to games, who's, the first off the bench. Those are the players that are respected, and it's a good call. And I think a lot of it has to do with money. The president, the sports director invests most of their money into the top 15 players, the starting 11, and then the 4 to 8 on the bench. And at the end of the day, it's about, when you get to the professional level, it's about getting 3 points. And I think, unfortunately, in the college system, a lot of it's more about like the participation and stuff like that. But yeah, I do agree with you. I think always, you know, the younger players have to respect the older players, but I think it does come to a point where it's like, you know, the best players and the ones who can actually change the game and who have the most impact on the team are the most respected in a sense. So I think that's a great insight.
So I definitely enjoy the way it works here in Europe way more.
For sure.
I think it's a lot easier for you to actually like get what you put out, you know?
Yeah.
So if you're the one who's working super hard, you're always asking the coaches, what else can I do? Is there anything else I can improve upon? And you do those things and you show them. It doesn't matter how long you've been on the team. It doesn't matter that you're a fifth year. You know, there's sometimes that coaches prioritize their fifth years because it's their last year, even though they don't deserve to play. They aren't the best on the field. They aren't the best for that position. You know, it's just because it's their last go, you know, which
Yeah,
I also think is sometimes unfair. You know, just
for
because
sure.
you're a fifth year doesn't mean you should be playing. I think it's whoever is the best should be playing. And that's
Yeah,
always like whoever works the
100%.
hardest, whoever, you know, contributes the most on the field should be on the field. And that's how it works in Europe. So I
Yeah,
like that.
100%. 100%. So when did you, so how long did you play in Germany, and then when did you make the move to Lithuania?
So I played in Germany for 2 years, on and off, because of COVID, you know, shutting down games and all that. But that was a really great experience. And then just last year, I moved to Lithuania, and that was like a total shift. I had just like settled, like set some roots in Berlin, and I had a group of friends, I had a routine, and I was really comfortable. But you know, you always have to get out of your comfort zone and strive for new experiences and opportunities. So I was searching around with my agent for new teams, and I did have a list of certain criteria that I wanted to be met. And it's okay to be picky, you know, you don't always have to take the first opportunity that's handed to you. So I did wait. I tried out for a few teams in the Baltics. And I was already back in Canada when my agent told me, hey, we actually found a team for you that lists that kind of checks off all of your boxes that you wanted. And it's in, you know, Vilnius, which is a capital city. That was one of my boxes I wanted checked off. They had this opportunity to help me with pursuing my studies as they're affiliated with one of the universities here. And those two were like one of my biggest things because it's pretty evident that women's soccer doesn't pay the bills forever. You just don't make enough to count on that forever. So you have to make sure you're prioritizing your education or even just another hobby or something else that you can pursue after female soccer. So having that opportunity was, you know, one of my boxes I needed checked off. And they invited me and I came, and after the second practice they were like, here's your contract, and I was like, yes.
Great,
Nice
great.
score.
Love that. Love that.
It was
Yeah.
such a whirlwind, but
Yeah, I get it. I mean, you know, like you said, it's that's one of the toughest things about, you know, first of all, being alone in the beginning in Europe. I mean, obviously you said you came over with your ex-boyfriend, but then when it was just you know, it's tough to once you find that comfort zone, it's like I don't want to leave, you know. I found my crew, I found my nest, and leaving the nest is tough. But like you said, I mean, obviously it's very important for growth, you know, to chase, you know, leaving the comfort zone and the uncomfortable. And you know, it's definitely not easy. So what do you find kind of the overall difference, would you say, in culture and football, from Germany to Lithuania?
Oh, there's a huge difference in the way that they just everything is just very different. I think the stereotype of Germans being very efficient is so true.
Amen.
It's very true. So every time you went to soccer, it was always head down, let's go. Every single practice was meticulously planned. You know, we always had a religious warm up and pre-act, and that's something that they really, really heavily stressed because injuries, in women's soccer are, you're just so prone to them, right? So just even having like a 20 minute just pre-activation is just something that you don't really get here in Lithuania.
Really?
They do pre-activation obviously, but it's just not as just heavily stressed, I suppose, like, pre-act cool down. But and then all of the drills are very focused on improving the cohesion and I guess just like your skills as a soccer player as well. They were small-sided games, they're small-sided drills that are super fast paced, to with your like coordination, everything, agility, all of it. Every single drill had a purpose, and it wasn't just, something that it was like, come to practice, we're gonna do this drill for 30 minutes and then this and maybe play a game at the end. It was like every single drill had its purpose, and it was timed perfectly. And afterwards, I would be left so tired. Every part of my body would hurt because I was, it literally was like I was working out everything. It was awesome. So I loved the training so much in Germany. But at the same time, I did feel like overwhelmed, because there was a huge gap in, I guess just abilities. Like there were some girls on my team, it doesn't matter how much I worked, I will never be as fast as them. They are just like these units, and I would get so nervous sometimes, showing up to practice because it's like I have to be so dialed in just to match their level. There wasn't one practice where you can just have an off day. It was like you got to be so in it all the time, and that's kind of stressful. There's sometimes I want to go to practice and not necessarily like dick around, but just like have a good time, enjoy myself, try a new trick or something. Like I was terrified to try new stuff because I was terrified of just messing up, because they're just so good, and I just didn't want to try a stupid trick and then next thing I'm getting yelled at. So in Lithuania, I definitely have a lot more freedom, I feel. I can try all the tricks I want in practice, and it's more encouraged because I think the difference is they want you to make mistakes here a little bit more. It's like it's not as frowned upon, and also they want you to improve, but it's not like as stressful of an environment as it was in Germany. The trainings are still very intense. We still have our fitness trainers, and we have two trainings a day now, so the intensity is even leveled up. All of our international players were training a lot more, so it's definitely still difficult. I still am sore. I'm still doing all of my, rehab exercises coming off of energy like an injury. So it's just a different feeling, I guess. But yeah.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah. That's another great point there that, Germans are super meticulous on the detail and super detailed with their training sessions, and they have a why and a purpose for everything they do. I mean, I played in Germany 3 years. I'm playing in Latvia now. We brought in a German coach, and it's like a completely changed culture. Like this guy like thinks about the team the whole day. He's got his plan for the year, for the month, for the week, and for the day. And it's just, I'm similar to that. Like I love that routine. That routine with a mix of creativity is obviously the goal. But yeah, I think, like you said, also, German coaches, and I think, great football coaches design their drills based on the game model and like how their team wants to play. So you always have that why in the back of your mind, like, oh wow, coach wants us to play like this, so this is why we're doing that. And that obviously motivates you to work harder and do the drill better with more detail. I'm sure you saw it, but our coach, like if you don't play to the correct foot during a simple passing drill, you're getting yelled at. If you don't play your teammate in the run of his run, you're not doing the job. So yeah, I mean, I think there is a time and place where that comes into play, but I think just with everything, everyone has their own style, and I think every individual has their own style with the coach they flourish under and where they can excel. So yeah, I mean, I think that's the great part about what we do, going to new cultures and seeing how people act socially and then seeing how people act on the field is really telling, you know, and it's great to see that there's different cultures. And, you know, everyone always says that football is a religion, and, you know, there's different sectors, you know, people act differently in different ways. So it's great to see.
Agreed.
So, what is your, you know, what does your day-to-day look like? You said you study, you said you guys train twice a day. What's your day-to-day look like? What time are you getting up? You know, just in terms of nutrition, how's your breakfast looking, lunch, dinner, just for some practical tips for the listeners.
Yeah, so I think women's and men's soccer is similar, but also I guess maybe different in your priorities. I know for men's soccer, you don't necessarily have to take as much precedence into maybe pursuing other alternatives of income in the future. You know, some people can really dial in and dial down just on becoming a better soccer player, and that's good enough for them. But for female sports, you have to really there's honestly, majority of female athletes have a day job. Like, that's just the truth. You know, they work in the day and they have to train in the evenings. It's just like, it's you can't afford not to. So I think for our day to day, compared to a men's soccer player, is a bit different. But for me currently, I wake up in the mornings maybe around 8 for to eat something before our trainings. In the mornings, our trainings are either at 9 or at 10, so depending on that day, depends on how early I wake up. And then after that training, I like to go to the gym, as it's more individual trainings in the morning, more based off of improving your foot skill, agility, passing accuracy, accepting the ball, kind of just first touch type of stuff, all individual. You know, there's nothing really team oriented in the mornings. So I find that I have a lot of energy still, and I go right to the gym and I just do some strength. I save fitness for the later sessions. So after I would do that, I would always come home, make some lunch, and then study really until I have trainings. Currently, I'm doing my master's degree in Vilnius. I'm studying
Nice.
HR, so my classes are online, which is really nice. But they're recorded and they start in the evening, so I miss them, but I'm able to rewatch them in the mornings. So I do that once I come home for 3 hours, and then I get ready for our evening trainings, and I pick up a few teammates and take them with me. So that's always fun, driving around the city for almost an hour every day.
You're whipping that fresh feet out of yours, huh?
yeah, right.
Nice, clean. It's
Just
clean.
zooming around. And then we have our evening trainings. And then after my evening trainings, it's either I come home and try to unwind, or if depending on what I have going on with school, I'll study a little bit more before bed, or try to just do some like regular organizational household stuff. You know, you got to make time for that. It's
For
definitely
sure.
time consuming. So I would try to get those in right before bed. And yeah.
Sure.
And
That's great.
nutrition, you know, like protein shakes after workouts, making sure I have a certain amount of protein in the mornings and in the evenings, and carbs just so I have enough energy. You know, you're working out like twice, three times a day. You have to make sure you're fueling your body. I know a lot of girls that don't necessarily partake in such intensive sports would like also look at me sometimes while I'm eating so much, and they're like, "Oh my God, like you're eating all of that?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I have to, because the way it go, it just the energy, you just it just dissipates so quickly. I'm so tired if I don't eat like an abundance of food all the time." You know, and for them, they're like terrified at how much I can eat sometimes. They're like, "Wow, two sandwiches at once?" I'm like, "Yes, I need all of it, you know, or else I won't be able to train later." And I can really see how my nutrition affects my performance, especially when I go a morning and maybe I don't get enough in. I find wholeheartedly it completely changes how much energy I have for my trainings in the evenings. Like, nutrition is so important.
For sure.
Making sure you're eating enough and eating the right foods is so important to even being able to get better as a soccer player. because you can show up on the field and you're there, you're present, you're dialed in, but you just can't push yourself to your to that point of improving, you know? So
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a great point. Obviously, food is energy and you need the calories to fuel yourself. And like you said, I'm sure the girls looking at you eating all that aren't training as hard as you are. So
yeah.
that's just the moral of the story. But how did you kind of learn about nutrition and what to put into your body?
So we did have a nutritionist in university, but it wasn't like as stressed, you know. A lot of girls were eating like crap as well in university. You just eat what you have, what's available to you. So there's a lot of times where you're eating junk food from the cafeteria because you just didn't have enough time to meal prep that week. It's just, especially in my college days, I was just running out of time. You know, we did a chart and it was like, you should have this many hours of studying, this many hours of sleep, this many hours of training and extracurriculars, time for friends. And I think I was like over by something crazy, like 40 hours a week. And I was like, where am I going to find these 40 hours? You know, and the nutritionist and the girl who was running the session just said, yeah, you get it from your lack of sleep. You know, you're sleeping less, or you're not prioritizing studying, or you're not seeing your friends and doing things for your mental health. And that's why they have all these huge issues with student athletes just running out of time in the day, you know. So there's a lot of times where I feel like I could have definitely been better as a student athlete if I were to have focused more on my nutrition or meal prepped more or better. And there was times I'm asking my parents, I'm like, please, like, can you just make something, you know, and just put it into little Tupperware dishes. I'll come pick it up. I'll drive over. I'll freeze them, microwave them in the mornings, or take them to school for lunch, you know, because I just don't even have enough time to even like cook for myself. So, in university, that was not something that I was particularly like stressed on. It was more like getting a certain GPA, getting those scholarship opportunities, performing on the field. I feel like nutrition was one of the last things that was on my mind. It was just like, whatever I can put in my mouth, I'll do it. You know, like anything from the cafeteria, McDonald's, Tim Hortons, you know, like a cult class, like from Canada, you know, just anything. So now I feel like in the more recent years, I've been able to really stress what I'm able to eat, that I have like a bit more control, as well as like a bit more financial freedom to actually explore those more effective options, you know, like the different supplements, protein powders, different like options there. So I've been not necessarily the best. I'm not like the cleanest eater, obviously, but I do make sure that I have enough to, like I said before, like fuel my training. So getting that protein in, having those protein shakes, always having like some hydration supplements all of the time with my water and everything, making sure I'm drinking a certain amount of water every day, like just the bare minimums, I guess, when it comes to that. But it's always something that I wanted to improve upon, and it's always good to know your faults. So that's something that I definitely can improve on for sure, and eat more clean and do those things. And but I definitely see a huge impact on some of the small changes and even big changes I've made to my diet and how it affects me playing now.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, makes a ton of sense, and obviously you learn from your mistakes and you find what works for you. And obviously it's always you can't be perfect, it's always gradual progression. And I think sometimes people get, I mean, I'm pretty strict, I'm pretty dialed in, but you gotta enjoy yourself sometimes, so I think food is a way to connect people, connect with loved ones, connect with good friends. So yeah, I mean, I think it's you got to find your balance, and based on your body and your training. So yeah, I mean, I think it all makes sense, and the fact that you have that all, in your mind and you're mindful of all of it, I think is the most important. So I think for listeners, I think some of the most important stuff is just to educate yourself, and don't be too strict, because I think the more if you're too strict and too rigid could lead to bad behavior with food, and that's the last thing that we want. So you told us that you train in the gym, and you like to work out pretty consistently. You know, just like you said with the nutrition, a lot of women think that training too much makes them bulky or stuff like that, but they don't realize actually that guys like muscular women. So if you can just, you know, tell us a little bit about your gym routine, you know, and how you like to look at going to the gym.
Yeah, so for me, I totally get where you're coming from. You know, like a lot of women, you know, are kind of afraid of weightlifting and all of that. But there's like differences. There's like weightlifting to like make your muscles bigger, and there's also powerlifting, which doesn't actually do much of that. You know, you just get stronger, and that's the whole point. Is as an athlete or in my position, I don't want to get big, you know. It makes me not as fast or agile, or I guess for me anyways, like just like quickness and fitness. I feel like the bigger I get, the slower I get. You know, that's why you see these huge sprinters with these huge big muscles, but then you see these long distance runners and they're like twigs, you know. And as a soccer player, you need to be able to run for 90 plus minutes, so you're not gonna be huge. It's just almost impossible with the fitness that you do. So for me, what I focus on the gym is not necessarily like getting big and crazy and muscly. It's just to get stronger and more powerful to translate on the field. So all of the movements I do are explosive movements. It's powerlifting. It's, you know, yeah, I'm lifting heavy weights, but I'm not doing it for a huge amount of reps, or I'm not doing them all of the time. It's more for like muscle definition and toning and getting strong and being able to be faster. And some of these movements I'm doing specifically so I can run faster. It's not necessarily anything to do with bulking up or, you know, getting more muscle definition or whatever. It's literally so I'm able to be more explosive in my sprints. It's so I'm able to jump higher. It's so I'm able to run longer even, you know.
Sure.
So when I go to the gym, that's my focus. So I think for women who want to just be strong and want to, you know, I don't know if they want to ever partake in some of these more elite level sports, but if they just want to get faster for themselves, you know, there's so many things you can do at the gym that don't make you bulky, that don't make you these huge muscly bodybuilder sized women, or even make you super chiseled and super defined. Like some women don't want like a tire 8-pack, and you don't have to have that. You know, you can do these exercises and you won't see a big change in your muscle mass. It's just the way that you perform them and why you're performing them. So
Yeah, no, that's a great point. I mean, just talking about performing for your sport and for your position is really key. Can you take us through, like, if you were to go today to do a leg session, what would that kind of look like?
So I would do a 10-minute incline warm up on the treadmill. Might even do a warm up on a bike, you know, just to loosen up, get ready. I like to do some hip and back mobility first before I do anything with legs. It's always really good to focus on mobility so you don't hurt yourself, don't injure yourself, and also you're able to do the movements more like effectively as well. You know, it's always good to make sure you're ready for those exercises. It's important to do, I think, front squats, split squats, Bulgarian split squats. I do that front and back, and I do them slow down and more explosive up, and I do 8 reps 3 times, sometimes 4 times, always upping the weight. And then those explosive movements will help you get faster. You know, you're in that stance, you're doing that explosive vertical, so it's going to translate on the pitch. Another good option is box step ups with 2 dumbbells. So you know, being able to do that same kind of movement, that explosive vertical, you know, and even if you can, like lifting the dumbbell into that sprinting position is also important. And another one would be working on my hamstrings. So doing a lot of RDLs, I would do that on my classic leg day. Also, I like doing hip thrusts as well. Those are explosive movements. Also cleans, some cleans. Those are more difficult. I like to do those with a spotter usually, if I'm upping the weight especially.
Sure.
So those ones I don't get to do as often if I'm going for an individual workout, but if I'm going as with my team, then that's something that I would prioritize as well, as that is a really good explosive workout to not only just improve you as a soccer player, but also to become more strong. So I do that and maybe some back and something like that. I always like to mix it up a
Love
little
that.
bit with my leg days to add something else in there. Not just all legs, one or two other things, and then
Yeah.
hit the sauna.
Love that. Oh, no, nothing better than a Eastern European sauna.
It's the best. It's like the only reason why
Yeah.
I go. I'm like, okay, gotta go to the gym
Yeah.
leg day, but remember there's a sauna afterwards.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, you seem really educated on the subject, so that's awesome. Did you learn that through just playing, or did you do any reading into it? Any how did you learn, how to train like that? Because it seems pretty like a pretty good routine.
When you're playing soccer for such a long time, you've been to how many strength sessions, you've been to how many fitness sessions, and you pick up what has worked for you over the years. There's certain workouts that I do that I have seen actual improvements, and there's other things that I've done where I'm like, why are we still doing this in the gym? Like, it's not working for me, and I know it's not working for her. Okay. But there's other times where I'm doing some workouts and I'm actually looking in the mirror, or I see on the field, I'm like, wow, like I actually feel stronger after 1 month, 2 months of having this gym like routine. So there's like just those little things that I've actually seen actually work for myself. And it might not work for everyone. So it's really important that when you are progressing in your soccer career, that you also listen to what you have found that's most effective for your body. Like, not everyone's the same. Not everyone's going to, build muscle or have these improvements like the other people on your team. So whatever works for you, you should really like maybe even do more extra reps after practices or go early or whatever, or do those on your own time, and you can see yourself get better for sure.
Yeah, awesome. Awesome. Yeah, it makes a ton of sense. I mean, it's just like we talked about before with nutrition, you see what works for you and then you implement it. I think that's the goal here. It's, the whole moral of the conversation is you experiment with things and then you kind of, as you get older, as you start to have more experience, you find what works for you and you kind of implement that into your, consistent routine.
Definitely.
So how does the season work, in Lithuania? How many games do you guys play? How often are you playing? How does that look?
So we have like two legs to our season. So the first one is starting now. We had our first game last week, and it ends
Nice.
in the beginning of July, and then we have a month and a half break in the summer. Super clutch. Unlike any team I've
Nothing
ever
better.
played for before,
Nothing better.
nothing better. And I've never had this opportunity to have an actual like summer ever. So this is such a highlight. And then we start again end of August, and that ends around November. So the two
Awesome.
legs are consecutive, so they total up at the end. And then whoever wins the A-Liga and qualifies for Champions League, that the
Oh, wow.
qualifications begin, and then they play those games. So last year, Jintra, the team we played last week, qualified, and I don't think they went very far. I think maybe the second round in qualifiers, but we tied them last week. So that's
Wow.
super good. And they're the A-Liga champions last year, and we haven't tied them since 2013, so like 10 years ago. So that's really big accomplishment for our club,
Wow.
and for my team. So we're sitting at second place last year, and maybe we might be in Champions League this year. We'll see. That'd
Wow.
be
Never
amazing.
know.
Never know. That's the goal. But
For
yeah.
sure. For sure. What do you like? comparing the leagues, you know, playing in Germany and playing in Lithuania, what's the, is there a difference in playing style? I mean, you referred to before that they had some units in Germany, so how does the playing style differ?
Yeah, so I think that like the quality of players in Germany are a lot closer than they are in Lithuania. I feel like there's maybe three or four really, really good teams in Lithuania and the rest are okay. But in Germany, like every single game was extremely difficult. You know, every team was so good, every player was so good. So I also think it was just like the amount of training or quality of players were it's a little bit different. And the playing styles are I would suppose similar, but it just if you're playing with faster players, you can, you know, expect more long balls or through balls or wherever else. You kind of adjust your playing style based off of what you got on the team as well. I wouldn't necessarily say like the two leagues have their own distinct playing styles. I definitely think it's similar when you get to a higher level that you don't play a style necessarily. It's more about like how can you use your team's abilities better than the others, you know? So if we have fast players, if we have really good defenders or whatever it is, like is being able to use those to the best of our ability. So I feel like in Lithuania and in Germany, the way that our both my teams play are actually quite similar, I suppose, you know, like being really, really strong in the midfield and then having fast and strong strikers, I suppose is kind of similar how we play. But, you know, if we were to play against each other, it would look completely different, you know, but yeah.
Yeah, makes sense. Makes sense. Where do you enjoy more? You know, obviously Berlin's an unbelievable city. Vilnius has got its, you know, good things, but you know, where do
Good
you
things.
actually enjoy more?
Well, you kind of just summed
Try to be nice to Vilnius.
it up.
Try to be nice to Vilnius.
Yeah, you basically summed it up. Yes, I agree with you. Berlin is such an incredible city. I miss it so much. I definitely consider Berlin home. I just find I had a really healthy relationship with soccer as well as my personal life in Berlin. There was just so much to do. It's just such a beautiful collection of communities, and there's art and history, and you know, a lot of ways you can express yourself individually, which I loved so much living there. And Vilnius is like very different. It's very small. Once you're in their community, though, they're very friendly and supportive of you. But as like an
Yeah,
outsider, it's you feel like an outsider, you know. Where in Berlin,
for
I
sure.
felt very welcomed all the time. Also, Vilnius is very quiet, not much to do. There's not that sense of feeling like anonymous. I feel like the word is like anonymity or something. Yeah, there's none of that here. You know, people recognize you. I can't have just like a night out. I can't, you know, just I have to always like be mindful of people around me and what I say or what I do all the time, because being in this position playing for Žalgiris, you know, I'm representing the team, representing the brand. I can never have a bad moment. So
So no wild nights out then, huh?
zero, zero. Alcohol is
Understood.
down uno beverage a night at any time, at any point of the season. Doesn't that matter? You can be seen with a glass of wine and it might be acceptable. So you know, here I'm very focused. I feel like I'm content, I'm at peace, you know, I like my routine. I'm playing soccer, I'm studying. There's not a lot of distractions. But in Berlin, I definitely had a lot more fun. I had a lot of fun with my friends that I made. I was always on the go, always on the move, traveling, seeing new things, you know, German culture is just extraordinary. The people, what it has to offer, you know, even as a country, it was really, really great. So I really miss it, if I'm gonna be honest. And I do miss my old team. I miss all of Germany, and I want to move there one day for the rest of my life. It really had a profound impact on me. But at the same time, like I am happy here. You know, I am not unhappy by any means. Like I said, I made those criteria for my agent, so I would never come to a point where I'm unhappy in a place that I'm living. That's why I think if you're gonna go play soccer, make sure you're doing it not just to play pro soccer, you know, because you have to remember you have to live in that
Good point.
place. Like, there's some places I could have lived, but it's like a small little like village town, and I'm so sorry. It's just not for me. There's some people who love that serenity, who love, you know, having not a lot of distractions and whatever else, and being in these small villages. Like, for sure, go for it. If you can do it, do it. But for me, I'm a city girl. I need an international airport. I need you know, some expats here and there. I need a place where they potentially can
100%.
understand English. There's some places, you know, you go to these villages and you're going to be one of the only people that are speaking English. Like, you have to remember that when you're choosing where you're going to live for a year, 2 years, wherever else. So, yeah, so I'm happy that all my boxes were checked, and because of that, I'm having a great time here. It's fine, but of course, Berlin is Berlin, so.
Yeah, I mean that's a great call. You know, I think I talk about it with friends all the time that, you know, when you're younger, you think, okay, just put me on a field, let me sign a pro contract, and I'll be happy. But like you said, I think the off the field probably is more important than the on the field to make sure that you feel good outside. Because when you feel good outside, you have good friendships, good relationships, you're gonna be happy, you know. And we both know when you're happy, you have the most fun on the pitch. So I think that's a great call. And you know, also I think you know, we all have seasons of life. So I think there are seasons where it's like, okay, it's time to work, and then it's time to have fun. I mean, I feel the same way as you. Like for me in Latvia and Riga, like I have a couple good friends, but not the best of friends like I used to have in other parts of the world. But I just look at it, I try to change the perspective, and I say to myself, all right, Rick, you know, I talk to myself a bit weird. All right, Rick, you know, this is a time in life where you got to work hard, you got to grind, you got to build your empire. And then, you know, I think you can agree with me, like when you feel you have that reward of going to travel, you know, traveling new places, seeing old friends. And I think then the travel actually becomes much sweeter because you know, okay, you know, I've been doing my stuff, I've been on my discipline, and I've been doing everything right. Now I could go enjoy myself.
I definitely agree. You know, being able to have your accomplishments and then and reward yourself afterwards for sure.
Exactly.
But on the same note, is like if you do have that opportunity to choose not just for the pro contract, like you were kind of alluding to, it's like also thinking about like your mental health and how happy you're going to
For sure.
be in a place. Because if you do make those decisions, and then you might regret it, and then you just wasted how much time, you know. Like, there's
Exactly.
also been times, you
Exactly.
know, where we've had some internationals last year actually that came to Lithuania, and it just wasn't for them, you know. It just like just not happy. They were just like, this isn't what I was expecting, and they didn't enjoy it. Like, it doesn't matter that you're playing soccer anymore. You're just not happy where you're living. So as long as you are happy where
Exactly.
you are, or at least like happy with being there for that short amount of time, then of course do it. But if you're going to be so miserable and unhappy and you're just doing it for playing soccer, you have to remember life is not just soccer. You know, it's also about your mental health,
100%.
and being happy on and off the field. So I think that's something that people need to really stress as well when you're making these choices where to play pro.
Absolutely, absolutely. With that being said, you know, kind of coming towards the end of the conversation, how, besides soccer, how do you unwind? How do you like to relax? How do you like to spend your time? What are some hobbies of yours?
Well, hobbies of mine, I love traveling. I think it's because I grew up in Canada, and it's the biggest, like one of the second biggest country in the world, and everything is just so far apart that you feel almost claustrophobic. You know, it's hard to make sense of it, but it's not like you're in this like confined, super like small space. Like, I've also visited Hong Kong and saw the exact polar opposite of Canada, where everyone's just so crammed in these tiny little apartments. I've seen it all, you know. but I would still prefer to live in Hong Kong than I would in Canada, just because to get anywhere was like an hour drive. You're doing two things in a day because everything's just too spread apart that you can't actually be efficient. And that's why the days felt so short. And when I was in Canada, I felt like the days were passing by so quickly. I wasn't able to do as much as I am now, in Europe.
Interesting. You had a good
I can
point.
go to the gym, I can do this, I can do that. I could even do like a small trip to another city, come back, go for dinner, have training, all in one day. In Canada, I can go to the grocery store, I can go to the gym, and I can go to training and go home. That's it. Because everything's an hour away. And if you have to go to university, then that's like a whole new thing. So I felt very, very trapped and stuck. And also just the cost of living in Canada, I find is a lot more. Your money goes way further in Europe, especially Eastern Europe. It's just amazing over here, You're able to really do a lot with your money. Your money goes a long way. I have a way better quality of life than I did in Canada by far. I can do more things. I can see more places. In Canada, your closest trip is, or a cheap trip is an all-inclusive vacation once a year to Mexico. Like that was like your highlight. Like that's what you're looking for forward to. And when you're living in Europe and you're able to like play soccer here, you do get off days, you do get off weekends, you do get a vacation time here and there. And instead of sitting at home like I would in Canada, because there's nowhere else you can go in only 3 days, I'm going to Milan. I'm able to get on a flight, I can go to Milan. I can get on a flight, I can go to wherever else. Even now, like we don't have games for the next two almost 3 weeks, so we have an off weekend. Even tomorrow, I might go to London or go to Slovenia or take a bus to Riga, say, hey, what's up, Rick? Like you can
Why
do
not?
so much, right? You can do so much with your free time. And it's so awesome because it just makes these memories and this time in Europe so more special. Sure, you have your day-to-day and Vilnius is quiet and there's not so much to do, but at the same time, there's so much to do when you do get the chance. Right,
For
compared
sure.
to other places that I've lived, I'm able to get on a flight that's only an hour and I'm in Sweden. Like, what? Only for 2 days, and that's all you need. Sightsee for one, go to a museum and a nice dinner the next, and get on the flight home. Like,
That's
that's what
great
like
call.
makes my clock tick, and that's what I'm like so excited to do all the time, is just to see more of the world and see all these new cultures and everything. And that's why I'm stuck in Europe. I'm never leaving. Like I don't care what you would offer me to go back to Canada, even if it was like an all expense paid life. Like I couldn't
You
do
never
it.
know. You never know.
I couldn't do
Gotta keep the mind open.
I really couldn't do it. Maybe somewhere else than where I grew up, but just what Europe has to offer and the life I live here compared to what I was doing. Counting down the days until I could get back to Europe, honestly. So, definitely super, super happy here.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. And it's a great call. I mean, I'm the same way. I love traveling. I mean, meeting new cultures, meeting new people, seeing how people communicate and different food, different lifestyles, nothing better. I completely agree with you. With that being said, I know you travel a lot. What would you say your top three favorite places besides Berlin? You can't include that because we talked too much about it.
Top three. Oof, that's tough. Okay, so I will put them in categories. So for like beaches and swimming and everything, for that type of vibe, kind of like ocean beaches vibe, I would have to say Thailand. Amazing. Crystal blue waters, insane beaches, insane sunsets, like just like blowing my mind, beautiful. There's were times where I'm like, this isn't real. Like I was looking at the sunset and I'm like, how is this happening? It's just the nature and beauty and everything. And I would, if anyone's planning a trip, go to Thailand, you won't regret it. So and then also for like history and cool like natural artifacts, I love Jordan. I got to see the lost city of Petra, and that was just like so eye-opening. I don't think you need a lot of time there. It's like a max 4 day trip. You go to Wadi Rum, you go to the desert, you get to see Petra, but it's just like so beautiful and so amazing that I would definitely recommend it to anyone and everyone. And then lastly, all-time fave. Oh, so tough. But I think I had just my own personal best vacation was probably Australia. I was 19. I was alone, solo backpacking through Australia. And I wouldn't necessarily say it's the most beautiful or the coolest or best partying I've ever done, or even make some of these like top lists, that I've mentioned, but it was just such a beautiful experience for myself. And I feel like it would be for others. Australians are super welcoming and fun and cool. And the people I met backpacking, they were just like, "Hey, we're going on a van trip all down the East Coast. You want to join?" And I was like, "Okay, I'm 19, probably could get murdered. Let's do it." Like, I've never met
Gotta
you
take
guys,
risks, huh?
whatever. I'll take risks, yeah. And going to Byron Bay, Surfers Paradise, all of these amazing spots, meeting all these cool people, and everyone's just there to have like a good time, same reason as you, at all these hostels and stuff. And yeah, it was definitely a highlight. And yeah, but for food, I love Chinese food, so Hong Kong for sure. Yeah, it was so good.
Good calls. Good call. I need to go to Australia. That's on my bucket list this off season. I hear it's
You
unbelievable. It's
have
like
to go.
it's a lifestyle that I like, beach, some nature, fitness vibe. You could, a lot of people you could meet up with and link over there within the fitness industry. And like you said, I hear people are super friendly.
And also it's like
It's
you
the
share
exact
like
opposite of Eastern Europe,
yes. And also you
Like you said,
share.
people would welcome you on the trip, but here they would just drive past you, so.
Oh, absolutely. But like I was trying to say before, but like you have a lot of cultural similarities. You speak the same language. You have a lot of like ways to connect instantly that I feel like in other places that I've visited, even where we're living now, it's just like you just don't have that experience at all. There's just too many cultural differences. There's cultural norms. There's just things that we're just not used to. Where in Australia, it's some
For sure.
it's almost like a mini kind of tropical America, Canada, So that's also why I had such a good time, is because I had so many like-minded interests and values and everything with these people that I was meeting, that it was like automatic best
Absolutely.
friends. There's no differentiation in like the way we were raised or, our cultural norms, like I stated before, So it's super easy to connect instantly and have cool, meaningful, heartfelt conversations with these people that I probably couldn't have with some of the people I've known for months here, that I could have over a weekend chat with someone there, So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, it's a great call. I mean, over here it's hard to find a smile, so you're lucky if you get a smile once in a while.
And then there it's like, oh,
Yeah,
I talked to
I'm
you
talking
for
all this
5 hours.
crap about Eastern Europe, but it's But yeah, just if we could end off the conversation, one I always love to ask, with the knowledge you have today, playing multiple places, traveling multiple places, what age would you go back to if you could tell yourself some advice? So with all the knowledge you have today, what age would you go back to and what would you tell yourself?
Oh, that's super tough. I had two very influential times in my life that have definitely steered my career to what it is now. I feel like the most, I guess, important time for just any soccer player in my experience is like 16, 17, because you're right on the cusp of that big break. It's either you make it or you don't. Right when after you're 18, if you don't have something lined up, your chances become slimmer and slimmer every year. So I think when I was 16, I was doing everything. I wouldn't go back and say, change what you're doing, work harder, because I was. Oh my gosh, I was. I knew how hard I needed to work. I was playing on a boys' team. I was going to extra fitness sessions with the older girls. I was asking my dad to pick me up at 10 p.m., drop me off, and just pick me up at night. I will just stay there and do something. I was working so hard. But what I would tell myself is don't get defeated when those opportunities don't work out. Because I think that's what really killed me was in the next years when I did all this work and nothing came of it. My parents couldn't afford the university I wanted to go to. They couldn't afford all the ID camps I could have went to possibly play in the States. It was just not feasible for them. Yeah, I did all this work and I could have, if I had the financial opportunities to go to these ID camps in the States, maybe I'd be playing for an NCAA team. I would have been doing this or that, but it's just you have to take the cards you're dealt with and don't be too hurt, I guess, or or let it affect you too much, I guess, when it doesn't work out. Because that's what happened to me. I went to my last resort school, if I'm going to be honest. And it sucks. It does. It really sucked. You know, I tried, I worked, I think I deserved more, but instead I took what I that lesson and I just like tried to make the best of it, of course, you know. And then once you have made it, to not get too comfortable would be my second age, would be like 22, 23 is like, sure, you've played on a good team for a few years, but don't think that this is it, that you've made it, because you can do more. You can still work as hard as you were in 16 to even get this opportunity. And don't get too comfortable, because at that age, I was like, okay, well, maybe after university soccer, I'll just be done. But it didn't really like come to me that like, actually, no, I can do more. University soccer isn't just it. I can do so much more. And I'm so happy that it kind of clicked for me that actually, no, I'm gonna take that like jump, that leap, and I'm gonna move to Germany and I'm gonna play soccer there and I'm gonna make it something. Obviously, I didn't anticipate to be a pro soccer player. I was going there, you know, for other reasons, but it just happened along the line. But for other people, you know, when they're in university, don't think university is the end all be all. Don't think you made it. Don't think this is the end of your road or end of your journey. Like, keep working, keep doing all of those things that you did to even get to that place, and you'll accomplish so much more. So I feel like there's two like really important moments in your life as a soccer player for sure.
And that's very well said. And you know, if you think about two of them, they relate to each other, because it's like, you know, you do say that, you know, you wish maybe you went to a better university, but if you didn't go to that university, you probably wouldn't have gone to Europe, you know? So it's like you got that opportunity and you took it, and then once you got to Europe, you were able to get out of your comfort zone. So I mean, personally, for me, I believe everything happens for a reason. And just like you said, sometimes, you know, things aren't going to work out your way that you think you wanted them to, or you saw them and predicted them. But I think the goal is always to adapt. You know, you make the best of the situation, just like we were talking about the living situation. You make the best of the situation and you do whatever you can to, you know, reach your goal. And obviously, things are always going to come in the way. You know, everyone thinks success is just a nice journey up, but obviously, you know, there are always bumps in the roads. There are highs, there are lows. And then, like you said, it's, you know, just being able to work hard and constantly adapt. But last thing I want to end off with, you know, how did you develop your work ethic? Because you seem to have a really good work ethic. Where did that come from?
I actually don't really know the answer to this question, but I think it comes from just my upbringing. I only had soccer. You know, like I kind of mentioned the beginning, you know, it was soccer or nothing. So my parents said, if you want to do this, you better do it fucking good. You know, we're not paying the little money that we have for you to dick around on the field. Like my dad was like, I'm taking you to practice and you're gonna go as and run as fast as you can. You're gonna be better than all these girls. Like you have to try your hardest because this is all you have. You're gonna have nothing else. And if you're not gonna be good at it, we're just gonna take you out. So I think it was also like not having any other option. So for me, it was always like, I need to be the best. I need to do the best. I need to impress my parents. My dad watched every practice religiously, would critique me every day after practice. He's like, what the fuck were you doing? What were you thinking today? Did you see what you were doing today? And he was one of the only parents that would sit and watch every practice. All the parents would get back into their cars, go get lunch or coffee or whatever else, but my dad would sit and watch because he also knew this is the only thing that we have really to bond with each other. So he took it and
Good call.
he made it like our kind of our relationship was all around football, you know. So I think it came from my parents and almost like the desperation also is like, I have to work hard, you know, I have to take this opportunity because my parents, like, they're working minimum wage jobs, they're, you know, also going to school, like night school, like even my parents had it rough, you know. I also got my work ethic from them. Like my dad
For
sleeping
sure.
only 4 hours a day because he's working nights, going to school days, and still comes and drives me to practice every day. So like, I
Wow,
definitely
that's
got it
awesome.
from him. So just for him to push me and tell me like, it's you're gonna be good at this. Like you're there's no
That's
other
awesome.
option. So I think,
Yeah.
and I also coaches
Love
and
that.
getting praise when I was getting older. And one of the things they would say is, "You're such a hard worker on the field." You know, maybe I'm not the most skilled. I'm not doing all these crazy whatever tricks in the game. I'm not sprinting the fastest, but I'm always working the hardest. I'm always tracking back. I'm always checking my shoulder. I'm always doing those little things. I'm being diligent. I'm putting my blood, sweat, and tears every practice and every game because it was drilled
Love that.
into me at such a young age and still. If I didn't, and my dad noticed that I wasn't working hard, like he knows when I'm sprinting. He knows when I'm tired. He's seen enough of my practices. He knows when I'm not trying. And afterwards, I would get yelled at. So either I'm going to be yelled at on the field for not trying and then yelled at after practice from my dad, or I'm going to fucking put the work in. And then afterwards, I get praise from my coaches and then I don't get yelled at by my dad when I go home. So
Win-win.
it was exactly. So it was like definitely drilled into me, and it has helped me in so many ways, not just football. You know, to become like such a diligent student, I needed that work ethic that my dad put into me, you know, for sure. Like I'm still such a great student. I'm studying my master's while I'm playing football, living overseas, like all of these things that some people wouldn't be able to do, I've been able to do based off of the work ethic that was instilled at me at such a
For
young
sure.
age. But also to like other football players that maybe you don't have like a helicopter parent, you know, that's watching all the practices. You can also be accountable for yourself too. You know, like you also know when you're not working. You know when you're getting yelled at. You know when you're not trying. You know when you're not giving your all. And if you don't do it every single practice, it doesn't become a habit, and it's going to take more effort than it needs to. So for me, it's just second nature now when I go to practice. I'm always working hard. There's sometimes where my coaches are like, "Julian, relax. Like this is a recovery day. You know, like we're not supposed to be sprinting today." But it's stuck in my head now. When I show up, I
Yeah, that's
show up.
awesome.
I don't have to think about it
Love
anymore.
that.
So I feel like for other players too, you can get there.
No, that's great advice. And just to add on to that is, you were saying that maybe you're not the most skilled, but at the end of the day, I think hard work is a skill. It's something that you, like you said, you develop, and it's like a muscle. You go to the training, like you said, you're showing up, but you're working hard. And when you consistently do that, you build that hard work muscle, and then over time it becomes second nature. And then you have these people who haven't built that up and don't have that discipline, and they look at you like you have five heads. I mean, I've been there, but it's like it's just natural, So yeah, I appreciate you sharing that. And obviously it's something that you can control. That's the greatest thing about hard work. You can control it. I think we both know, soccer is an opinion-based game, so the coach makes a lot of the decisions. But as long as we can look ourselves in the mirror at the end of the night and tell ourselves we gave it our all, that's the only thing we can ask for.
Yes, agreed. I agree.
But yeah, I appreciate you taking the time. I know you're a busy lady. If people want to find you, I know you're Insta famous. What's the best place to find you? Instagram, TikTok. What's the best?
Instagram.
Where are you? Instagram. Okay.
I feel like Instagram, but also TikTok. I'm trying to build my soccer TikTok. It's still in the works.
Wow, love that.
Yeah, I'm trying to get on there a bit more, but definitely Instagram or TikTok for sure.
Sounds good. So yeah, I'll put that in the link in the bio, and you guys could reach out, ask Julian advice. I mean, I'm sure a lot of you guys would be sliding into her DMs, but you never know what happens. That's just good. I want to give you listeners how Julian and I met. So she was
Yes.
on trial in Latvia,
Yes.
and this podcast was supposed to go down like 2 years ago. I think
Yeah.
I saw her on my Explore page, and I thought to slide in her DMs in the professional way, get her to be on my podcast. So yeah, it worked out. She's on the podcast. So
2 years later.
good things happen when you work hard, when you're
Yes.
persistent.
Yes.
But yeah, appreciate you coming on. Have a good rest of the day, good rest of the week, and good rest of the season.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.